to download, download to get your content. This week on the radio station, we have you and I, Valparaiso, at 6:30 pregame on Wednesday. Saturday is 11:30 pregame against Indiana State. And then Sunday, we have the NFC and AFC championships games. Pregame starts at 1 o'clock with CBS. So enjoy that. This segment is going to be brought to you by DeMorn Orthopedic, helping you get back to living through orthopedic care. Three locations, 6001 West Down Parkway, West Des Moines, 1301 Penn Avenue, Suite 213, Des Moines, 350 Northeast 36th Street, Ankeny, Iowa. Services include foot, ankle, hand therapy, hip, knee, shoulder, spine, sports med, sports rehab, trauma, and urgent injury. Their urgent injury clinics are at both Ankeny and West Des Moines locations. No appointment needed. Look up wait times online at demos.com. Just so you know, they're Monday through Thursday, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., Friday, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m., and Saturday, 8 a.m. to 12 p.m. in West Des Moines. And Ankeny is Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 3 p.m., Saturday, 8 a.m. to 12 p.m. The difference between urgent care and emergency rooms is the severity of the health problem. If the condition is life-threatening, something sticking through you, something stuck in you, go to the emergency room. If you're looking for convenience, affordability, minor illness or injury, you can go to DMOS Urgent Injury Clinics. New to DMOS is Engineer Performance by DMOS, world-class sports rehab and performance training in Central Iowa, 1711 Southwest Plaza Parkway, Ankeny, Iowa. Okay, so just a few other things that are out there. There was talk because of what could have happened if the Buffalo Bills would have won the football game yesterday, and boy, were they not even close to doing that. But having the championship games on a neutral field, and boy, that just sparked up some interest, I think, from the owners, because holy buckets, we can make a lot of money. My issue that I have, and the first words out of my mouth when I started seeing that is, You went from 14 games to 16 games to 17 games to make sure all the games mattered. Well, the reasons the games matter is to get home field throughout the playoffs. I get you play the Super Bowl in a neutral site. You don't do the championship games. If you do, you just take more away from the season. You should go back down to 14 games, which they're not going to do because they make too much money. They already make too much money, so they don't need more. That would not be a good idea, and we need to make sure that we make that known. It's not what should be done when you're talking about the NFL football. One of the things, somebody sent me this again today, that Kyle Shanahan would be very surprised if Jimmy Garoppolo was available to play this week. There are certain things that would be a fireable offense. That would be one of them. Letting Jimmy G come in and play over Brock Purdy the way Brock Purdy's playing. I don't think that he would have his teammates' support of that. I think they've bought into what Brock... I know George Kittle has. I don't think that it's going to happen, and I don't think it is. One of the reports out there today is the Patriots may be parting ways with 2022 de facto offensive coordinator Matt Patricia. Number one, he's a defensive guy. He's always been a defensive guy. He shouldn't have been the co-offensive coordinator. And his co-offensive coordinator was Joe Judge, who, until he left the New York Giants, is when Daniel Jones, and once again, when he left the New York Giants, is Daniel Jones actually became a good quarterback. It is too funny that stuff like that is out there. Andrew Perloff, who is on the show with Maggie before our show, there's a lot of quarterback jobs out there that are open. Las Vegas is open. The Jets is open. The Redskins is open. Tampa Bay is open. Green Bay he thinks is going to be open. I don't necessarily disagree with him. I think Tennessee is going to be open. I think the Giants have a chance to be open. The Houston Texans have an open job. I think that's going to go to I think that's going to go to Bryce Young in Alabama. Indianapolis has a opening, and New Orleans, really, I think they've understand that Taysom Hill is not the answer, and Jameis Winston is not the answer. It's going to be interesting to what they do, but that's a lot of jobs out there. Now, listen, Andrew Perloff has the Las Vegas job going to Tom Brady. It makes too much sense not to with Josh McDaniels. Yeah, they have money. They're getting rid of Derek Carr. The New York Jets, I don't know if it's people trying to speak this into, having it out there, but I heard a lot of people today on talk radio saying that Aaron Rodgers with the New York Jets is a no-brainer, and it fits some of his criteria. It gives him the biggest platform in the country to talk. They have talent on both sides of the ball. That's a very interesting one. Derek Carr to the Washington Redskins. The Redskins, not that Allen, his last name is Allen too, I do believe. Not that he's not, but when push comes to shove and you need that drive or you need someone to step up, I don't know what you do. Tampa Bay looks like Andrew anyway thinks that Jimmy G is going to go there. He thinks Baltimore is going to keep Lamar Jackson. And let me take a pause right there. The Baltimore Ravens over the weekend, first offer was $113 million. I think that's the one that's been on the table for a while. They raised it to $133. I think they're between $50 and $100 million off. They're not getting him for either one of those. But he thinks he's coming back. Green Bay, he thinks it's going to be Jordan Love. Tennessee, they think it's going to be Ryan Tannehill. And here's my thought process on Ryan Tannehill. I've seen Ryan Tannehill win a couple of games. I've seen Ryan Tannehill lose probably more than a couple of games. And then you have a bunch of Ryan Tannehill in the middle that you lose more than you win. I don't know how you keep that type of quarterback. I don't know how you don't. I think their draft pick, and his name escapes me, so I will look it up. He started a couple of games, definitely not ready. What Mike Vrabel is trying to do with Derrick Henry and Ryan Tannehill is to try to be like the New England Patriots, but he doesn't have all the rest of the pieces. Mike Vrabel is a good coach. I just don't know. I'm sorry, but Tennessee doesn't have that much talent. He thinks the New York Giants are going to keep Daniel Jones. I don't know where else they go. I don't think they want to spend. I don't think they want to spend Jimmy G money on Jimmy G, and have him get hurt. I mean, I personally don't think there's a lot of difference between Daniel Jones and Jimmy G. I do think like Tennessee. I would rather have Daniel Jones than Ryan Tannehill. I don't even think that's close. Indianapolis, I think everybody's kind of leaning this way, that they're looking at Will Levis from Kentucky, a rookie, and finding a Jacoby Brissett or something to be a backup, but maybe start the year and just let the kid learn. And here's the thing that everybody says about Will Levis. Well, he had too many interceptions, but man, is he fun to watch. Okay, he plays for Kentucky, and they play in the SEC. He's going to be overwhelmed, overmatched, and over-talented at every position that he has on the field but himself. You put him in at USC, you put him at Alabama, or you put him anywhere else you want to put him. You put him at Georgia, you put him anywhere. He's going to throw for just as many yards as he did at Kentucky, but he's going to throw more touchdowns and less interceptions because there's talent there. And then the New Orleans Saints, I don't think anybody has any idea. Taysom Hill is not, you can't go into the NFL season with Taysom Hill as your quarterback and expect that you can win, 9 games to be over 500. It's impossible. It just doesn't exist. You can't talk it into existence. You can't wish it into existence. And the combination of Jameis Winston and Taysom Hill is even worse. So they have to do something. As big a news as DeMar Hamlin was, in that same cycle, Peyton Hillis was, I'm not exactly sure where they were at, but I think they were near water and a couple of his children either got away a little too far out, got pulled out. He saved both of them, and he was probably closer to not being here than being here. And in the last 2 weeks, he is sitting up. He's talking. That's just as big of story, except for Peyton Hillis doesn't play in the NFL anymore, and he didn't do it on a football field. But it's a huge story that he saved his two children, almost cost himself his own life, and he's recovering. And I think that is really cool. And talking about Daniel Jones earlier today, and I've done this from the New York Giants perspective. You know, what do I do? You know, I'm first off, I kicked myself because as an ownership group, I didn't trust Brian Daboll enough to see what he could turn Daniel Jones into, where I could have got Daniel Jones for 4 years, $80 million at $20 million a year. Now you're looking at 3 years at 90 or 4 years at 90 or at 120. But he said, Daniel Jones, on whether he wants to stay a Giant. He said, we'll cross that bridge when we get there. I've really enjoyed playing here. I appreciate all those guys in the locker room. It's a special group of guys, and I really enjoyed being a part of it. We'll figure that out as we go, but I have nothing but love and respect for this team. That sounds like somebody to me who doesn't think they're going to come back to the New York Giants. This one surprised me because I guess in Philadelphia, maybe I wasn't thinking clearly, maybe. But the Eagles 49ers game in Philadelphia on Sunday is the most expensive college title game ever. Average purchase price is $1,102, 31% more expensive than last year's NFC Championship game, the 49ers and the Rams, in LA, of all places. That in Philly, it's more expensive. The most expensive purchase so far is two tickets for $4,178 each, so $8,356. You're like, dang. One of the bigger news items today, staying with the National Football League. I'm going to finish up this segment talking about the National Football League, and we're going to talk about college basketball, professional basketball, and then I have some more potpourri in that last segment. Jeff Bezos today stated that he is willing to sell the Washington Post. He bought the Washington Post a while back to be able to buy the Washington Commanders. It has to get approved and all that stuff. But in what he's paying to get the Washington Commanders is pocket change for him, which is pretty silly that is happening. Okay, this is one of the sadder ones for our college athletes and some of the things that go on behind the scenes. Bethune-Cookman students are calling for the Board of Trustees to be removed. They expressed that the campus facilities have many issues the school isn't addressing. Bethune-Cookman was getting ready to hire Ed Reed. Ed Reed, one of the most fierce competitors, can you tell he's a Raven? One of the most fierce competitors ever in the NFL, Hall of Fame safety, was getting ready. This is what he does now. He helps kids. He was going to go to Bethune-Cookman and coach there, and he got with the students and was trying to help them get better facilities, and they took his offer off the table and said he was no longer being considered to be the football coach. And not only the student athletes at Bethune-Cookman, but all of the students were out and showing their displeasure today, which is, I think it's a great thing. And if you didn't see the other kind of, Memphis Grizzlies playing the Lakers, Shannon Sharpe's there, Shannon Sharpe, Fox TV guy who, you know, he has enough on his hands trying to keep up with Skip Bayless doing dumb things. But he's sitting courtside at the Laker game. And a bunch of yapping starts between him and one of the players. Ja Morant gets into it. So here is, now, they were being protected by Steven Adams, who is a big dude who I wouldn't want to mess with. But they were over in Shannon Sharpe's grill, and Shannon Sharpe, being Shannon Sharpe, wasn't going to let that happen. Shannon Sharpe's no small dude. I mean, he's got to be 6'5", 6'6", and he's a big dude. It came, you know, there were people trying to get in front of everybody. He apologized today. Shannon knows better, unlike his partner in crime on his radio show, who I think everyone is ready for them to go out. I think his time has passed. You're listening to Steen on Sports. We're bringing sports your way every day, trying to, hopefully succeeding. You're listening to us live on 101.3 FM, 1700 The Champ AM. Real sports talk for real sports fans. Got two more segments. We're going to get into some basketball. Iowa women, Iowa men, Iowa State women, Iowa State men, and the NBA. Be right back.
You're listening to Steen on Sports. 1700 The Champ. Real sports talk for real sports fans.
Welcome back in, everybody. Once again, happy Monday. Hope everybody had a great day. Please drive safely home. You are listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 FM, 1700 Champ AM, Real Sports Talk for Real Sports Fans. Check us out on Twitter at Steen on Sports and at 1700 The Champ. Facebook's at 1700 The Champ as well. We have Wednesday, you and I, Valparaiso, 6:30 pregame. So about a half hour after my show gets done on Wednesday, that'll be the first sporting event. We have another you and I game against Indiana State at 11:30 on Saturday. And then Sunday is full of NFC, AFC championship games, pregame starting at 1 o'clock. That will be exciting. It looks like, I just caught one and I'm trying to see where it went on the Iowa women, are playing, Ohio State tonight. It's a huge game. I am clicking on it as we speak and we're talk about that, and the Iowa State women as well. Here it is right here. Iowa plays Ohio State at 6 o'clock. So I'm gonna have to listen to the first part of the game before I can get home. 15-4 Iowa at number 10, and number 2 Ohio State, and they are 19-0. I can't believe they've played 19 games already. That is crazy. Okay, this next segment is going to be brought to you by, I'm checking where I'm at. Did that. It is going to be brought to you by Heritage Building Maintenance. Provides quality health-centric building maintenance and janitorial services throughout Central Iowa and the Midwest. Provide the best solutions for building maintenance and commercial janitorial services. Heritage is future-focused and driven by technology to find a healthier and more efficient way to serve their clients. They believe they should provide the first line of defense and proper health care, be industry leaders in implementing health-focused innovation and technology, and provide a peace of mind protecting our future by being a certified partner of science-proven microbial control to provide an advanced level of janitorial services to their clients. Go to heritagebuilding.com to check out more about cleaning and the future of janitorial services. Thank you, Heritage Building Maintenance. So I'm looking here, And I have that pulled up. And give me just a second here. Iowa Hawkeyes. So the Hawkeyes tonight, they have, and I'm trying to remember what number she is, and I cannot. McKenna Warnock, she is number 14, is not playing tonight. She's not able to go after being hurt the other night. So you're going to have some, especially Hannah Stolke, who has been playing really, really well. Hannah Stolke, she's a freshman, Cedar Rapids. She is so good on the offensive end. She just needs to learn on the defensive end to cut down on fouls, and you learn that by playing more. And so that will be very exciting to see that game tonight when I get home. It's exciting. Iowa State women are doing really well. So we'll keep going on here. I have a few. This one is a, so I have, I pulled these up earlier today, but they didn't have the rankings out yet. And I want to look at the, rankings, because both in men's and women's, because it's really strange, because they keep going around and around. Purdue is back on top, in the AP, top 25. Alabama is sticking at number two. They moved up a couple spots. Houston dropped down. They lost a game, so they dropped down a couple of spots. But it's really funny. So when I'm looking at this, and you're thinking about men's college basketball over the last, let's say, 7 years, and you're talking right here. You're talking Purdue, Alabama, Houston, Tennessee, K-State, Arizona, Virginia. Virginia has had a good run. Number seven, Virginia. They're 15-3. UCLA 17-3, Kansas 16-3, Texas 16-3, TCU 15-4, Iowa State 14-4. Have a problem with TCU being above Iowa State when Iowa State beat TCU at TCU. How they do stuff like that, I have no idea. Drives me crazy. But you just look at this. St. Mary's is on here. Providence is back in again. New Mexico is in there. Florida Atlantic is in the top 21. University of Miami's at 20. Marquette is in there. That's going to drive me crazy, because I really like Marquette's coach. Dang it. It's right on the tip of my tongue. Don't you just hate that? Shaka Smart is their coach. He's a really good coach, and I think he's going to do a really good job at Marquette. I think that was more going to Texas. That's tough. When you look at the NCAA women's and you look at their rankings, South Carolina is still on top. They're going to be tough to beat. Alea Boston is a really good basketball player, and they have a really good coach in Don Staley, and they have a lot of talent. She's bigger and stronger than almost anybody that's playing in the NCAA. Ohio State, like we said before, is second, and they are 19-0. Stanford is 19-2, and they are third. How Stanford... from the, unless LSU hasn't played anybody this year, which is totally possible that they haven't, because Kim Mularkey, probably not how you say her name, but she's Mularkey. It's LSU. I mean, they're in the SEC, and they have zero losses, and they have Stanford ranked above them. UConn, with all their injuries, are 17-2. Big East, not as strong as it's been in the past. They don't have Paige Beckers. They don't have Fudd. That's a difficult thing. Indiana is 17-1. Notre Dame is 16-2. UCLA is 17-3. Utah is 16-2. And Iowa rounds out the top 10. They are 15-4. And they're on Ohio State's floor tonight. It's going to be an interesting game. You have to see whose center stays in the game and not in foul trouble. and not having Warnock is not a great thing for the Iowa women. But they have other players, and they need to step up, and that might be a good thing. Lisa Bluder, if you didn't see this on social media today, she still has an issue with in the Michigan State game when a Michigan State player, and this is Lisa Bluder saying, and I've only seen video, but you can't see all of it. Lisa Bluder said there were a Michigan State girl was holding on to Caitlin Clark's arm to not let her raise her arm up. And Caitlin Clark tried to get her arm loose and did what I just did there with the microphone, hit the microphone since I had to show you what she was doing because I'm on radio. And when she flipped her arm up, she caught a Michigan State player, and they gave her a it's not a technical foul. It has the same regards as a technical foul, and they got two free throws. It didn't matter. They still won the game. But she's like, she thinks there's a little bit of animosity between Caitlin Clark and some of the referees. And if you would ask me the first 2 years, I would have said, you know, sometimes I could see that and buy into that. But what I've seen in games that she's played this year, I do not believe that. But she's like, if that's how you're going to referee a game, you can't be a referee. Which leads me into a humongous opening to in watching the football games over this past weekend. And these are full-time refs. I have a friend, acquaintance friend, Scott Helverson. He's a NFL referee. I think Scott does a great job. I believe that they could throw a flag on every play, and I believe that sometimes they throw flags just to throw flags. Of all the things, I think the NFL to a certain extent is reffed better than most. I think they miss calls. I think replay should be quicker. Here's my problem with replay, and this is just rehashing old things, is I don't know how many, I don't know if there's seven of them. I think there's seven. I think there should be an eighth. And it should be except for your lead, whoever your lead is on your team. And 32 teams, 16 games. So there has to be 16 refereeing crews. I think your lead should always be your lead. And I think the rest of them should be able to rotate around. And one of them should rotate up into the booth. And his only thing that he's responsible for is to do a booth review. And this goes for college football as well. These are multi-billion dollar industries, and you're having games decided by two head referees, one in college, one in the pros, looking at a screen that's half the size of the screen that I'm looking at doing my show. Now, who came up with that idea thinking that's a good idea? You have dollars. Bring one more person in. That's the job. And I would take that. I would seriously make them rotate. And you get, as soon as you see something and you call down, or if I also believe in college and in football in the NFL, you should be able to throw a flag at any point in time in the game that you want. If you win, you get the flag back. If you lose, they take the flag and you can't do any more. And I think when the booth person sees something up there that's not right, he should be able to buzz down. They should come in and say, what are you seeing? I'm seeing that he had, if it was a incomplete pass because he had 1 foot out of bounds, and the head referee comes on, gets on the headphones, doesn't have to look at the monitor, just puts on the headphones, what do we have? He had both feet down. Here's your mark. Here's the time. Go. That's all it takes. And the thing that they're saying is they don't do it is because of money. the NFL, stop. Take 10% of what the Denver Broncos just got sold for. That takes care of refereeing, having your purse up in the booth for the next 20 years. Make it happen. And here's how it's going to, here's the reason it's going to happen. And this is the part that no one wants to hear, because it's going to happen because of the ties to gambling. They don't want human error to be involved where people don't think betting on football games is fair. You talk about a multi-billion dollar business. There it is. So instead of having a crew of seven, you have a crew of eight. In college, that might be harder. They're getting ready to sign a $3 billion TV deal. Really? Come on. And if you have conferences out there in NCAA football that can't afford to do it, then find a way to make it happen. It's better than having the people in the stands sit there and watch a guy looking at a video on something smaller than my phone I have in my hand and trying to tell me if his foot was inbounds or out of bounds, or if he was behind the three-point line or in front of the three-point line. You have to make these things better. And just, I have a minute and a half. I understand, as an Iowa State fan, that we play defense and we get up in people's faces and we defend. There is no way in the world against an Oklahoma State team that shoots the ball from outside, doesn't drive to the hole very much, that they should have twice as many or twice as few of foul called and the difference in free throw shooting, 22-9. That's it. And it wasn't the only game in the Big 12. It wasn't the only game in NCAA basketball in the Big 10. The Big 10's having a huge deal with it right now. The coaches are up in arms. All of this. Multi-billion dollar entities can't get this straight. And then you throw on top of the fact that the NCAA is trying to investigate the Michigan football team, and they got Jim Harbaugh. Jim Harbaugh's like, yeah, you go ahead and do what you do. I didn't do anything, and I'm not coaching, and I'm not doing any of that because I don't think you have the right to do this. And I don't think the NCAA will go forward with it because I don't think they want to go to court for any reason, because they're going to lose everything that they already are 90% losing. How did I get to the NCAA? I hate talking about the NCAA. It makes me sound owly and grumpy. You're listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 FM, 1700 Champ AM. Real sports talk for real sports fans. I got potpourri, a whole bunch of stuff coming up right after this break.
Bad counsel.
A man who lives and breathes Iowa sports. Steen on Sports. 1700 The Champ. Real sports talk for real sports fans.
Welcome back in, everybody. Last segment on this Monday already. You are listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 FM, 1700 The Champ AM. Real sports talk for real sports fans. You can check us out on Twitter, as always, at 1700 The Champ and at Steen on Sports. Facebook is at 1700 The Champ, and the website 1700thechamp.com. Wednesday, you're going to get you and I versus Valparaiso. We have that. And this segment is going to be brought to you by Palmer Group, an employee-owned company providing employment services since 1998. Finding a job has always been challenging, but in 2023, it's even more daunting. Palmer Group was founded to change the dynamic and focus on both the clients and the candidates to make lives better. Getting candidates and companies on the same page to make things happen and to find you that job has never been more challenging as well. Currently, over 300 jobs on the website at thepalmergroup.com. Jobs in accounting and finance, admin and customer service, manufacturing, information technology, and mortgage and banking keep both the staff and the candidates very busy. Check out the website and find out what Palmer Group can do for you. I want to thank Palmer Group, Heritage Building Maintenance, Des Moines Orthopedic, Northwest Bank, and Women Controls for being a part of the show. All kinds of talk out there, and this is the one that I was talking about earlier in the day. So Jared Goff, Carson Wentz, and Dak are kind of all in that same age category. Who would have thought that Jared Goff was going to have the most upside? Now, I think that Dak can come back and he can it's going to be interesting to see what the Dallas Cowboys do, because you never know what Jerry Jones is going to do. To most people, Jerry Jones is loyal to a fault. Jason Garrett, for example. But I don't know what you do. I had somebody today, Sammy, I've not been easy on Todd Bowles. It is, you know, Bruce Arians being the offensive guy he needed a defensive coordinator that was going to be, you know, to hold the defense up and to be able to talk his defense through when Bruce is doing crazy things on the offense. And that's kind of what he did. And it's from people saying, did we see the real Todd Bowles? Listen, that team was not ready. The defense was not ready. The offense is not ready. And to a certain extent, that is Byron Leftwich's fault. But on the defensive side of the ball, that falls on Todd Bowles. I would have gotten rid of both of them, and I would have started over. You know you're going to lose a bunch of people in free agency. You know you were going to lose Tom Brady. I would have blown it up and started over. Tom Brady got you what you wanted. You were relevant for 3 years, and you won a Super Bowl. Almost won two. Let it go. I'm just not one of those guys that's like he looked lost on the sidelines. I couldn't do it. I couldn't keep somebody on my field after looking at other people and how they coach and how they do things. That's not what I'm looking for. I'm not looking for a quiet, stern guy that, you know, in meetings and stuff is, I want you, I couldn't do it. So just saying. And Potpourri, and I'm trying to think if this helps, because everybody knows I'm a Baltimore Ravens fan. And as a Baltimore Ravens fan, I want the Baltimore Ravens to bring back Lamar Jackson, but I want them to pay him money that he's willing to do for what he's done for them up to this point, because they are a 180 from where they are when he plays, 26.4 points per game, to when he doesn't play, and it's like 12.9. Your defense isn't going to be as good if you don't have Lamar Jackson as your offensive juggernaut. And they interviewed, and I'm trying to think if this is a good thing or a bad thing, because I have, I've always had high praise for Frank Reich, but that's who they interviewed today. I don't know if Frank Reich is a fit for Lamar Jackson. And if the Baltimore Ravens aren't understanding that, he's had Andrew Luck, pocket passer. Phillip Rivers, pocket passer. Peyton Manning, pocket passer. Lamar Jackson is not that. You have to bring, if you're keeping Lamar Jackson, you have to bring somebody that understands. Here's one. I would go out and I would talk to Robert Griffin. I don't know if you listen to him. Robert Griffin, III, Dan Orlovsky. There's some guys that I stop doing what I'm doing and listen when they're talking football. Greg Olson this weekend calling games. Unbelievably good. I mean, outstandingly good. I'm trying to, you know, you try to be nice. I get you need to interview, and everybody's trying to interview people. They probably have people that they want to hire, but they need to interview everybody. I don't know what you do, but I guarantee you that Frank Reich is not, he's not the answer in Baltimore. It's just, he's not. And I think that's going to make a difference. I don't know who Mattress Mac is, but how can he keep spending millions of dollars and losing on bets? How does he have so much money? His name is Mattress Mac. That surprises me. Kurt Warner had, I don't know how many of you listen to Kurt Warner. He is actually really good. And that's another person. I think he doesn't like to travel, and I don't think he wants to be away from his family. He's great at what he does. He'd be a great offensive coordinator. He understands the game. He is at his wit's end of how quickly NFL quarterbacks, no matter what down it is so quick when things don't work out, throw the ball into the ground or throw the ball out of bounds. He just said that, you know, that's something that people never have done before, and he doesn't understand the willingness to give up downs without taking shots. An interesting point of view. 4 years ago, there was no starting quarterback from the Big 12 had ever won a playoff game. And now three of the four remaining quarterbacks that are there are all Big 12 quarterbacks. So if you want to know what's changed in the Big 12 from, let's say, 4, 5, 6 years ago to now, it's quarterback play. The fact that the Big 12 is not looked at as a pound-the-ball running conference anymore. And by adding BYU, Cincinnati, Central Florida, and Houston, it's definitely taking the turn that way. I thought this was very interesting today. Someone sent this to me. If you had the opportunity and you could take Bryce Young or Will Levis or C.J. Stroud, or you could have Brock Purdy, what would you do? Now, that's not even a question if this was 6 months ago. Brock Purdy was Mr. Irrelevant, which is a stupid... I don't think they've ever had a Mr. Irrelevant that has become so relevant before, so it makes it seem very degrading to a certain extent. But you've never had somebody... And I understand. If he was at 92% of other NFL teams, this may not be happening. But it is happening, and it's happening in San Francisco, and it's happening with Kyle Shanahan. And Kyle Shanahan, I mean, people were starting to look down a little bit on Kyle Shanahan. Why can't they get over the hump? Why can't they do this? Why can't they do that? And he has somebody that's getting him over the hump. It's the same thing that you're seeing in Green Bay. What can coach do without Aaron Rodgers? I think it's happened. If I was a betting man, and I'm not because I lose a lot of bets, so I'm probably losing this one too. If I was a betting man, I'd be really on the, I don't think Aaron Rodgers is coming back to the Green Bay Packers. I think they're going to go with Jordan Love and maybe try to find a high quality backup, and I think that's where they're going to go. And I think they're going to retool and see what happens. Deflategate, of all things, Deflategate. Tom Brady. The NFL mad at Tom Brady and Bill Belichick and owner, and how do they get back at him? They fine Tom Brady for who? It's a football. As long as it's still, I mean, if it's deflated a little bit, who cares? I can't believe it's been that long ago, and I can't believe we're still talking about it. It's pretty funny. I hope everybody enjoyed their Monday. I enjoyed being in here talking to you. I will be back in here tomorrow. I'll be Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott. I know that I have one guest coming in because the middle son, Andrew, wants to come in and grill me on the NBA, so I think that's happening tomorrow. You've been listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 FM, 1700 The Champ AM, Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. See you tomorrow.
Here's a look at traffic